Thank you for listening to Thursday at Mission. I want to mention one more concert, the Spring Concert, coming to Dominican University. The Winifred Baker Chorale and the Orchestra of St. Catherine, conducted by Dominican's own Craig Singleton, chair of the department here. The Spring Concert is called Magnificat. It's by Felix Mendelssohn. There's some additional choral works and a concerto in D minor from Bach with Joe Blum on piano. This is coming Friday, April 27th, and though produced by Dominican, is actually happening at the First Presbyterian Church at 8 p.m. on the 27th in San Anselmo. They're also Monday, the April 30th, playing at 8 p.m. at St. Vincent de Paul Church in Petaluma, California. For more information, go to www.duwbc.org. duwbc.org for Dominican's Spring Concert. So, here with my guests here, we've had a night out in the storm, and it's been pretty stormy out there, and it reminded us about some of the disasters we've had. I remember the Loma Prieta earthquake was maybe the biggest thing to hit in my lifetime here in California, but there's been tons of storms. We might not get tornadoes as much as the middle of this nation, but here in Santa Fe, we do get earthquakes, tsunamis, although they're generally pretty small, but
tropical storms, El Nino and La Nina, they
yes,
come around
do.
All the time.
So perhaps you gentlemen want to talk about some of your storm experiences. Have you ever been flooded in, burnt out?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, the strangest flood I've ever been in had actually nothing to do with a regular natural disaster. I was just awake one sunny afternoon in my house in Fairfax, and I was looking out the window, and the whole yard was flooded like waist deep in water. And it was a sunny day, it was not raining, and it was just the whole backyard was suddenly flooded. And I was like, what the heck's going on here? Well, maybe that's not exactly what I said, but nonetheless, I got up off the sofa and I you know, ran outside, just looked out the window, and the whole backyard and the street in front of our house was totally filled with water. And then I looked over and I saw that a car had crashed into a fire hydrant, and there was a jet of water maybe 60 feet into the air.
Oh, so that wasn't actually a natural disaster.
No, well, I don't know. I don't know. That, you know, what is a natural disaster? But I had to save somebody. I went downstairs. There was a young lady who lived downstairs with her daughter, and they were asleep on the bed napping, and the water was like creeping up the bed towards them. And I went like knee deep in the water, their house was, and I was like, woke them up, and I said, don't be worried, but you're surrounded by water.
A rude awakening.
So I helped to carry them out. It was my firefighter flood experience there.
Oh, right on, not so mad, Max.
And how about you, Von Schroeder?
Well, being from Placer County up in the mountains, you know, we get some snow. We get plenty of flooding. Anytime we get some storms like El Nino, La Nina hits, mm-hmm. and, you know, it carries all the way up into the mountains, and everything washes down to us, and all of our creeks that normally are like a foot below the bank are now about 40 feet into the streets.
Wow.
And, yeah, you got a sandbag, and, oh, man, I've been flooded. I tried to cross a creek. There was a big, like a water main or sewer main mm-hmm. pipe that went across, and I was trying to cross it, and the water was really high, and the pipe was kind of wet because it kept splashing all over, and I slipped and hit the pipe and almost got carried downstream if it wasn't for my buddy. Reached in and grabbed me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of friends that were here on the waterfront during the last couple of tsunamis we had, actually, and this last one wasn't so big, but we had one, say, 2 years ago, I believe it was, something like that, where We actually got
There was like
3 feet of water.
There was the 12-foot surges, and they were saying surfers don't even go out. And then
The bay got a really good surge.
Yeah, the whole
surge.
Bay mm-hmm. rose up. I think they said like an average of 3 or 4 feet, like for the whole bay, which is a lot of water.
It did a bit of damage. You know, I mean, I'm sure hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in little tiny things. Mostly
all the houseboats.
Houseboats, boats in dock, waterfront. Businesses that got a little bit flooded. And you know, it just kind of brings to mind, you know, we've been kind of lucky as far as those things go. Some places really get regular tsunami, and they'll have great inland, you know, you if you search on YouTube, you'll find all sorts of really scary footage. I mean, just looking at a tsunami, the amount of water and the power that's coming in. I mean, a lot of us really don't live at very high elevation. Here we've got the benefit of some hills, so I've often sat and thought, if I looked out and I saw the tide going out and a wave coming in, what would I do? If we were sitting here?
I'd stay around, take some pictures, you know. Well, that's very interesting because people even, you know, there's stories of people who just go down to the beach to watch. It's almost like that feeling you get when you're walking on an edge, the urge to throw yourself over, you know, not a suicidal impulse, but just almost hypnotized by the distance beneath you. Because I can't explain it any other way. Any sane person, if you see the tide going out, you leave as fast as possible. You know, be safe. Yeah, take your loved ones and go high up.
There's actually a tsunami evacuation route set up in many different areas. San Francisco's got a couple of them I've seen in the cities just to get away from the beach.
Well, I think our bigger threat here is earthquakes.
I think so, too.
Yeah. There were a few smaller quakes. There was one in Vallejo and then one... I think over in the East Bay, just like a month or two ago, I was in Vallejo that night sitting down for dinner with my aunt and my grandmother. And right after the prayer and all that and the blessing of the food, and I'm about to start eating, and I just, like, it felt like this pocket of pressure moving everything below me, scooting along at probably like 40, 50 miles an hour underneath me.
Mm-hmm.
And everything.
Like somebody took the
just
carpet out from under you, but it's a deep seated.
Yeah,
feeling,
like
as deep as
someone
you
took
think.
The carpet out from under me in the ground.
Well, there's so many ways natural disasters that could come to us. And, you know, I recommend anybody that can hear my voice here on Thursday Night Mission to
the voice of Beacon.
Go and at least prepare yourself. Your county, your cities all have emergency preparedness plans, which are local to your area. And there are gathering places for power outages, for water problems, different things like that. Realize that, you know, phone lines get really busy on disasters. Everybody calls to see if everybody else is okay. So have a plan and have it in effect. And in fact, on the Red Cross site, there's a you go through the site and look at some of the plans that they have for different case situations. And some of them, even just for first aid or medical emergency, it's worth at least reading so that you've got it in your mind. Speaking of being mindful and prepared, I have this reading from Hagakure, which is the way of the samurai, although it actually, I think the word Hagakure translates into something like the shadow of falling leaves in some poetic way. Not speaking Japanese, we'll just call it the way of the samurai. And there's a lot in the book about preparedness. It spells out a lot of the samurai code and mindfulness exercises for preparedness. This reading is taken out of a section. This is the one I was talking about. Part of this was featured on Ghost Dog.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to read the whole reading, which is actually two paragraphs. Meditation on inevitable death should be performed daily. Every day, when one's body and mind are at peace, one should meditate upon being ripped apart by arrows, rifles, spears, and swords, being carried away by surging waves, being thrown into the midst of a great fire, being struck by lightning, being shaken to death by a great earthquake, falling from 1,000-foot cliffs, dying of disease or committing seppuku at the death of one's master. And every day, without fail, one should consider himself as dead. There is a saying of the elders that goes, "Step out from under the eaves and you're a dead man. Leave the gate and the enemy is waiting." All of this is not a matter of being careful. It is to consider oneself as dead beforehand. Morbid as that reading might sound on the surface, it's my belief that it's really designed to prepare one's mind so that should something happen, like all of a sudden there's an earthquake or a power line down and there's a kid in the way, we can think and we can assess because we don't paralyze in fear or, like you're saying, go towards the disaster.
Well, you know, I took some survival training in the Arizona desert, and I can't really say that I've had many chances to use it, but I survived survival school, so I guess I passed. But he had a kind of working model of dealing with disasters, which I thought was really helpful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the numbers themselves are less important because anyone could argue with them. But just to give you a general idea, he called it the rule of threes.
Okay.
And the first one, the Hagakure thing you just read, refers to the first rule of threes, which is don't lose your cool. You've got in 3 seconds, you can kill everybody or yourself by doing something stupid and not being present. Mm-hmm. To the possibility of whatever may happen. So 3 minutes, oxygen, right? 3 hours, exposure can kill you if it's bad enough. 3 days, dehydration. 3 weeks, food. I mean, you can fast for longer than that, but at that point, if it's not voluntary and you're doing any kind of hard labor. And then within 3 months, of course, a societal crisis, like the people, whoever survives, getting together, what actually happens in the social dynamic and dealing with a new unit of existing after whatever the disaster is. But in any case, I always thought that the first 3 seconds might be the most important thing in responding to any dangerous situation.
Responding to anything, huh?
When I was...
Did you hear that?
I think I think you guys are being silly now. So I think we're doing what you said. We're being silly.
Yeah, I don't know much about the silliness.
I remember I was very calm during the Loma Prieta earthquake. Uh-oh. Did you hear something?
Oh no, the zombies are outside the door again. I thought we had lost them when we got up here to Angelico.
Oh no.
Okay, speaking about disasters, on our way here, we just happened to, this is not a real announcement, but survive the virtual virus that is going through Santa Fe in our population. I think that I'm glad that I got my flu shot now. I think it's some sort of form of bird flu or something going around.
It was the bird flu mixed with the swine flu that crossed in a monkey that had the monkey flu. And he somehow bit a rhinoceros that had people flu. And then that rhinoceros ended up in a zoo, and it sneezed on some kid, and that's when it all went down.
Hey, guys, I thought we were going to talk about survival. I didn't know this was not going to be like, you know, it's just going to be silly from now on.
It might just happen to me.
All right, I'm still calm, even though the zombies are outside. And I know this, you know. Well, I know there's nobody out there unless you're sitting
here
on your roof with a radio, which case, a laptop.
We're safe in here with the door closed and the laptop on.
Assuming the EMPs haven't knocked almost everything out.
Yeah. Well, speaking of disasters, where would you go? What would you do? So let's say the zombies do break out and they're at everybody's doors. We get to start talking about zombie survival guide. Now, we've seen the movies, right? Everybody's got, you know, the guns and
yeah,
it's a baseball
there's,
bat.
There's the one that lays out all the rules, check the back seat, do the double tap, you know. It's better to spend that extra round to make sure it's not going to come back and literally bite you.
Zombieland's pretty fun with the different rules,
yeah.
Like double tap, that's for
yeah.
sure. But
I've had some wilderness... experiences
with zombies. Are you talking about? Is this
pre-zombie outbreak?
Pre-zombie outbreak. But what afterwards? I mean, do you think that the wild animals would become zombies too?
Well, that actually depends on just what kind of zombie outbreak we're dealing with. If it's the bacterial flesh-eating virus zombies, you know, that's one thing. Everything's susceptible to that, pretty much.
If it can cross species boundaries, like you were saying, the rhino.
Virus from petting a cat that's not, you know, been cleaning itself.
What? You know, okay, that sounds even scarier than the zombie apocalypse.
Well, I'm saying a flesh-eating bacterial thing can go cross species. It's not confined to that.
Is there anything on the Red Cross station about this?
So we're going on current zombie theory. Now, zombies used to be something that would happen out of a hoodoo movie.
Yeah, or Night of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm.
And then there was other ideas of zombies that was just, you know, it was kind of unexplained for a while. Now, the new thing is the virus theory, which you've been talking about. And cross-virus theory has been one of the ideas, right? Maybe this has something to do with what we've been dealing with in society with pandemic bird flus and things like this.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know. The current zombie lore has flu-like symptoms, virus-like outbreak, and, you know, all the movies just have fun with people who should know better what to do.
Yeah.
Being victims of those, you know, brain eaters.
But what if there was, like, the zombies came and there was an earthquake?
Well, I figure if the zombies were around for a while, there'd be an earthquake sooner or later, at least here in California.
That's true, so...
Hopefully the earth will just open up and swallow them all.
Right. But what would you need for a survival kit? Obviously, you'll need something to protect yourself. But aside from that, because we can all think of ingenious ways. In fact, it's probably instinct to just grab the nearest thing and clock somebody in the head.
Well, I mean, water is the thing that's going to get people. You've got, you know, if you stay calm and you have oxygen.
Clean water.
Yeah, so you got to get water. Tincture of iodine is really cheap. You can get it for a couple bucks and a lot of places, and just use that
to make sure that there's no
viruses.
Right. Bring, in
water. If you want to survive for longer, just have some like Gatorade or something to make any kind of water palatable. Try and sift out as much particulate matter as you can, and water storage. Store up water before the zombies come. And that would be really water is number one. I would say absolutely number one.
I would too.
Yeah, water and as we were talking before, not so mad Max, seeds. I think that
seeds.
You know, fruit and vegetable plant, you know, food bearing.
Gee, that's really nice if the zombie apocalypse only lasts 2 weeks, but if it lasts for years and years and years, okay, yeah, maybe seeds, but what are you going to do to eat right now until you get yourself set up?
Well, of course, you have to find rations, but if this is a viral outbreak and it's got no real barrier, it may end up that, you know, I mean, my personal plan would be to go back out to Desolation Wilderness and, you know, go somewhere where it would be very hard for zombies to get to in a big group.
Oh, if we're talking about zombies still, because then I'd say, like, line of sight, you know? You have to always see everything. So I'd be, go out to a place where you could, there's a long, you know, not a lot of trees and things for zombies to hide behind. Mm-hmm. And walk in the middle of the street and always have people looking in all directions and, you know, search a building thoroughly before you roast marshmallows.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. And it would be very important to have a small, tight-knit group of people with skills that branch out to cover all sorts of survival needs.
We can all make my favorite zombie list. Who's going to be my zombie crew, you know? I've even seen some jokes going on online about that a little bit. But
you're still down to be part of my zombie crew, right?
Oh, sure. Okay. As long as you're not halfway across California. Then I'll end up being that guy that I know once I find my friend Jay, I'll be okay. I've got to find my friend Jay. None of the rest matters.
Yeah, but you'll die right before you find him.
I got to.
Oh, no.
And then what was
Beacon!
That? No, was that movie, Zombie Apocalypse, where they're thinking, Catalina Island, I got to get to Catalina. It'll all be good. They set up a safe zone there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the culture of zombie apocalypse and, you know, how popular it really is in games and movies and things pretty soon here. First, I want to go do our calendar segment and stay a little bit on track here. Let me, hold on, let me shut this door all the way so I can get the zombies to stop bugging me. Okay.
That was so bad.
Grant. It was. That I was didn't even really, throw. Really, I didn't even throw really like a flare with a beeper attached to it.
Hey, do you have the station number? Because you could give a shout out to anyone who wants to call in and ask questions about the zombie apocalypse. I was thinking there's one friend of mine who right now is driving up to Tahoe and might be listening to us.
Ooh, Tahoe, say hello to Donner Pass for me.
He's already planning for the zombie apocalypse, and he's going up there to his hideaway. So if you put the number out on air, maybe he'll call us.
Let's put the number out here. I've never worked the phone, but I'm sure we can figure it out with a little fumbling here. The station's number is 415-482-3587. If you want to call in, make a comment about the zombie apocalypse and what you would do during the zombie apocalypse. That was somebody's phone ringing. It wasn't the station's phone.
I would like to point out that the whole seed thing was mainly just for a long-term survival situation. If it's just an earthquake,
oh, it'd be easier than Noah's Ark.
They're not like a month-long earthquake.
Hey, could you repeat that number one more time? That our friend who's going up to Tahoe to prepare the stockpile.
The stockpile for
definitely
our,
listening. For
once
sure.
we get to once we get to Tahoe,
yeah,
he'll keep us safe.
Then we'll ski. Because that's zombies can't go as fast as skiers.
No, they'll just freeze.
just make sure he knows I prefer cross country.
Well, so if our getaway cabin guy is listening, he can call in 415-482-3587, and we'll try to get a caller on here. In the meantime,
this is going to be fun.
I want to get ready to do calendar.
Yeah, if the phone's even on. I mean,
so here's this.
Are the lights even on in this place? Wait.
Is he really listening?
No. Oh, you need those light stick things, too, that they give you in scuba class. You need a lot of those to entertain the children with while you're fighting zombies.
Yeah.
There's other survival reasons for those things, but no, but.
All right.
I know you want chicken nuggets, but just play with this for a minute while Daddy goes and fights the zombies.
Thursday Night Mission with Beacon. Only on World Famous Penguin Radio. Radio. Dominican.edu.
Thank you for coming and listening to Thursday Night Mission tonight. There won't be a lot of support for our fictitious zombie apocalypse on the blog, but I have put up a Red Cross website, and I do want to move into my calendar segment before we start talking about
zombie pop culture. Why does it matter,
though?
Okay, sorry, I know you have to do this.
Are you recording? Okay, good.
I'm recording.
I'm not wearing the remember to record shirt. So.
Right, right. We have yet to make that. I think we left it on a zombie, actually.
Yeah, you know, I was wondering if that was the sound guy until he tried eating my brains.
Right. Pending zombie apocalypse, Monophonics will be at George's Nightclub right here in San Rafael. This is tomorrow, Friday at 9 p.m. Monophonics, they got some good funk. Go check them out. This is on 4th Street in San Rafael, 9 p.m. We also have Grupo de Sete with Macarena Bay Vibes. This is a special event of the Rio Pagode and Samba with Grupo de Sete and DJ Fausta Salsa in the heart of the mission at 780 Cafe, a spacious and beautiful cafe art gallery, new venue. Did I say what day that was? Saturday, sorry, 9 p.m. to 1:30 a.m. So this is a late night live salsa thing. We've also got coming up on Saturday at 9 to 12, that's midnight, the 5th annual Midnight Flashlight Easter Egg Hunt.
Ooh!
Barring a zombie apocalypse, everyone is welcome. Invite your friends. The egg hunt starts at midnight, but join us early, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. for more Easter egg fun and games.
That would be so bad if you were there with your kids and
the zombies broke out during the egg relay or that chubby buddy contest.
Really bad.
Hey, buddy, this isn't Halloween. It's Easter.
Stop laughing. That's
not
funny.
In that case, you might need to stockpile up on over 400 Easter eggs hidden in the landscape of the log cabin. This is in San Anselmo. 9 p.m. till 12, and then they do the midnight flashlight Easter egg hunt on the 7th, Saturday, April 7th. And, you know, if the apocalypse does come, since it's a zombie apocalypse,
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there.
It'll move kind of slow. I mean, even if it moves fast, it won't be like earth shaking, we hope, unless it's with the earthquake too. In which case, Saturday, 9:30 to 1 a.m., Chrome Johnson is at Perry's.
Oh, they're good.
Wait, when's that?
So if you're in Fairfax and you want to get out of the storm and away from the zombies, go listen to Chrome Johnson. These four really put it on. Danny Uzi invited me to that, and they know how to have a blast.
Yes, they do.
When's that again?
This is 9:30 to 1:30 Saturday, this Saturday, at Perry's at 29 Broadway in Fairfax. And that's the end of the calendar segment for now.
Phew.
I was thinking that we could talk a little bit about the zombie culture that brings all these annoying, moaning, brain-eating things onto the screen and into our culture so much. I mean, it used to be a thing. There were vampires, there were werewolves, there was the mummy, there was even ghosts, but you know, zombies were down the list. But they've received quite an upswing in popular culture lately.
Yeah, they've definitely reanimated. Ba-doom boom.
I've just been given an anonymous tip by someone you know very well. She says canned goods might also be very important.
True that. Not only can you eat them,
you can throw them at a zombie.
Yeah, one of those in the head just might daze it long enough for you to get away.
Or if you're like a really big stout guy, like not so Mad Max over here, you could throw one of those big 5-pound things at the cream corn. Take a zombie's head clean off.
Grow with creamed corn.
I'd rather use a medicine ball because then I could get a good workout as I kill the zombies.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's like you need good abs.
Oh yeah, it's always important to look good while zombie smashing, right?
Oh, you know, maybe for the movies, but face it, in the long run, as long as you look better than the zombies, so that no other survivor mistakes you for one and shoots you in the head.
Yeah. You know, if you get covered in zombie gore, you may want to find something else to change into so they don't think, you know, you're cruising with the wrong crowd.
I was talking to a couple other former guests that were on the show before, Gypsy and Chris, and they were telling me that they'll be safe if the zombie outbreak comes because, as you were saying, water, but of a different sort. They just sail their boat out into the middle of the bay. Because, I mean, like as we were talking earlier, you know, you could usually outrun zombies. How fast could they really swim?
Well, in there's another question. I've seen zombie movie where zombies are like afraid of water. They won't cross the river or whatever. And then eventually one zombie's like, you know, well, hey, you know, whatever, and drops in and he starts walking on the bottom of the riverbed over across to the other side, and they all kind of follow suit, but they didn't swim. And I mean, they're living dead, so they obviously don't really need to breathe. But do zombies swim? Do they sink? Do they float? Are they afraid of water? Do they love it? Or, I don't know.
Well, I'd hope that I'd never have to find out firsthand. But in case they do, I'm not going to... If I'm being chased by zombies, I'm not going to take my chances crossing any dangerous bodies of water or anything else unless it's the only way to get away from them. I mean, really, there's the old saying, you only have to be as fast as the slowest person in the group, right?
That's true.
The zombies will swarm that guy.
Mm-hmm. Or bears or mountain lion, whatever it is. If you're out on a safari and you end up stranded and you're in a survival situation, you know, you only have to run. You don't have to outrun
safari,
a cheetah.
That's
you have
it.
To
zombie
run
safari.
Than
okay, see, that's
can we
do
that from an open top bus?
Yes.
Cocktails.
Ooh, yes. I'll have my martini extra dry with a twist of lemon.
Make mine a Bloody Mary.
Keeping with the theme, are we?
Right, right. It might not be Halloween, but, you know, we're talking zombies here on Thursday Night Mission. I'm Beacon, your host. We're a little tongue-in-cheek tonight, talking about zombie apocalypse and what would happen here on radio.dominican.edu. Next week, we're getting serious again. We're going to talk about the Marin Interfaith Street Chaplaincy. And I'm going to have the chaplain himself, Reverend Paul Gaffney, in here.
Reverend Gaffney.
Okay, well, we're talking about the zombie survival group. I would want him in my zombie survival group.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, he might not be very effective against zombies, but against any people that you meet, he's so nice.
He could be the guy that swings the guitar.
Hey, you know, I know the man personally as well as you guys, and I mean, let's face it, I think the chaplain could get down to business if it came to zombies.
Oh yeah, he'd rock and roll, for sure, one way or the other.
He rock and rolls anyway, right?
Right. So, but what do you think the brains thing is about? Why brains? Why not heart or something else that they really want, or steal your breath like some Bakimono?
Well, tasty. I don't know if you've ever eaten brains, Grant, but I you know, every day. No. Well, it's just my theory is that it's just evolutionary history. You know, the reason we're smarter than primates is because we learned how to use tools to crack open brain cases and eat brains ourselves. So zombies are our brain-eating shadow, because we actually got larger brains from eating brains.
You ever had head cheese?
I used to hate slicing that stuff at the deli.
Oh, God.
Just because it had some lingering compassion in me, just couldn't separate it from a sandwich. I couldn't put the two together, you know. But, okay.
Some things never
So here's an
belong.
Idea. You are what you eat. You eat brains. You get smarter. Okay, that makes sense. There's a lot of nutrition up in there. It's pretty lean. You don't, you know.
As a kid, I used to eat vice versa, which is like bratwurst, but it's a white bratwurst. And it's really juicy, flavorful, tender, made with calf brain.
Right now I'm wishing I had the sound effect. Ha ha, monkey brains.
Oh, yes. Can I say the name on the radio?
Okay.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say
Indy
the name.
Was my childhood hero.
Oh, okay.
Who was?
Indiana Jones.
Why'd it have to be
Snakes?
Yeah,
you shouldn't have said that. That's terrible.
I know. Now everyone's really not going to take me seriously.
No, the whip's pretty cool. And against zombies, a whip might be good. You could pull their feet out from underneath them and everything. I think that might be very good.
Well, that whip also, you know, he was really efficient with it. I think he could just split their heads in two like melons.
Right.
Okay.
And with his hat, he
so you got a good point here. We've referred to it.
And he'll look good while he's fighting zombies.
Everybody knows that you got to get a zombie in the head, right?
Of course.
Because otherwise, there's even names for all the different types of zombies that have been partially taken down. Like if they got no legs, they're like, what, the crawler, right?
Yeah.
If they have no arms and legs, they're a squirmer. If they do have their legs and they're a fresh zombie, they're a runner and they're dangerous because they'll reach you fast.
Yep.
It's amazing how much zombie culture has been getting its own subcultures and things.
There's even zombie video games.
A lot of this is from the game video games. Okay, name some zombie video games.
Left 4 Dead. We used to have our Left 4 Dead every night.
Right? Okay.
Well, I mean, there's no... We could argue, I mean, everywhere in popular culture, movies, video games, I mean, it's the zombies have had a resurgence. And I'm curious as to what it is. You know, Grant, you were saying earlier, natural disasters, that since we've in some way at least believe we control our environment, which we know we don't, but that zombies represent that old fear of natural disasters, of things just going completely out of control.
Okay, so perhaps we're projecting maybe even an instinctual pattern.
Right, just a fear of death displaced into this, you know.
But we're doing it in the most horrible way. I mean, people say, oh, I don't like zombies. They're gross. Okay, and that's usually the most you hear about it. Or, hey, yeah, I love zombie movies. But really, psychologically, me being no expert, just making some my own observation, is that of all the things that can happen, lightning, being struck down spears, the things I was reading about, you know, shot by rifles, being carried away by surging waves, burning in the midst of an inferno, so many things are so terrible. But to see somebody reduced to a state where they're still walking around with no brain, I mean, that brings up fears that we have from, say, going into a coma mm-hmm. or being poisoned. You were talking earlier about how the idea behind voodoo zombies.
Well, I don't want to offend anyone who practices voodoo or hoodoo for certain.
But we're talking about pop culture.
Well, no, I'm talking about the serpent in the rainbow, the Haitian zombie, mm-hmm. where they gave a person a strong enough drug, basically, or poison, that they appeared dead and for a number of days, and then it would also damage portions of their brain, probably oxygen deprivation as well, and basically you have a zombie. Yeah, it's not reanimated from the dead, but it's been in a coma state in a grave for days on end with parts of its brain not working anymore, and then
you know raised. It's got to stink.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've always wondered about. Okay, we've got zombie movies.
Right.
In zombie movies, to heighten the drama, they have people who seem really cool or not, like, oh, that she's going to die for sure, just because she said that lame thing. But, we've got these recipes, but, a standard horror movie recipe is to have people act really stupid at the wrong moment, and then, boom, the killer gets them, right? And with zombies, you see that, too. I mean, if zombies are really that dumb, except for that line every now and then, gee, they're getting smarter, which,
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Are they evolving zombies?
Haven't they evolved from somebody who's not quite dead, maybe, as you were describing, the serpent in the rainbow concept, to the virus zombie, where somebody is taken over and turned in a short amount of time, or even if it is days and they go into a coma, they're still, they come up, they act out, and they want brains, I guess, maybe. What happens if they get enough brains? Do they keep being zombies?
Or are they insatiable in appetite for brains?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Would they be around until they rotted away? How long?
Yeah,
would
that's what I've always wondered. Like with Night of the Living Dead, it's radioactive, like all the radiation.
Oh, those radiation zombies.
Brings the zombies, all the dead people in all of our cemeteries come up out of the ground and start walking and coming for our brains. So how does it last so long if half of these bodies should be, like, fully decomposed by now?
Or at least they're falling apart more rapidly from the radiation.
Yeah, or at least in some sort of state of decom.
Wait, they still have hair?
And, yeah, they have hair, they're wearing a nice suit, and, like, and then they hang around for days on end, banging at the doors and windows trying to get to your brains. And, wouldn't you think, like, it bangs on the door hard enough and dislodges the arm and there it goes, it's on the floor now? I mean...
But they can still moan until they have their head.
Yeah.
Removed. You missed removed.
Yeah.
Until they have their head removed.
Oh, okay,
well, and,
right.
And there's the other thing, you supposedly have to destroy the brain, so then removing the head Highlander style may not work. It may just end up with just...
A gasping
zombie
head.
Yeah. Just saying, brains. I can still bite you.
Okay, so some favorite zombie movies. I mentioned Zombie Apocalypse.
The Horde.
The Horde? Okay.
Yeah, that's a French zombie movie. These people stuck in this tenement. And it's a good one, The Horde. Yeah, and then, of course, not a zombie movie, but... let me think. Look, here, you think of one. Let me rack.
Was it Dawn of the Dead where they were trapped in the mall? Ving Rhames.
Yeah. That's a good one.
One of the things I love about that the most, and this is why I have the Harry Connick Jr. style version.
Oh, that song,
of Drunk
right,
and
right,
Sailor.
Right.
The Sickness by Disturbed.
Oh, wow.
If you've ever heard it, it's all heavy, just like, assaulting your ears with Disturbed tones, which I love Disturbed. But then to hear Harry Connick Jr., get up, come on, get down with the sickness, your mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. It was to that song, all Lounge Lizard and
I've got a copy of it here, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a live version.
Oh, do it.
Do you know the lyrics to this song?
Oh, yeah.
Are they clean?
No.
All right, so maybe we'll just listen to the first few riffs of it. Listen to that. He's actually got Muslim praying at the beginning of this version. Well, this doesn't sound like the radio version so much.
I like that.
I actually do, too. It doesn't sound like Disturbed so far.
Oh, this is live Disturbed?
Yeah, I've told you I've got a lot of music. I haven't even screened all of it, to tell you the truth.
I don't know if you can actually play the whole first verse.
Okay, so this is the song we're talking about.
You mean he's going to swear in a second. Did right. you feel that?
All right.
Yeah.
So, sorry, we couldn't play the whole song. We had to keep it clean.
Love that song.
But that was Disturbed.
And then hearing Harry Connick Jr., the man himself, doing a very, very Harry Connick Jr. version of it.
I don't have that. I just searched for Harry, and all I got was Harry Belafonte.
Oh.
Yeah, he'd be good to have around. Is he still alive? Or is he reanimated?
Yeah, no, I thought I saw him coming in.
Daylight come and the zombies go home.
I thought that was vampires.
That's true.
Now, I think Harry Belafonte would make a really cool zombie.
You want to go.
Really? I would only wish zombiehood on people I didn't like. I'd want a clean death for Harry Belafonte. That's not a threat on air. I want you to know I love his music.
Well, see, that's the thing. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
In order for there to be just a few survivors and hordes of zombies, that means most of us have to go.
But that's not true. Harry Belafonte, okay? I just want to say it.
So Harry Belafonte should actually be one of the survivors.
Oh yeah, if we can save him, definitely.
Then we could all sit around a campfire,
kinda like
on
Tom,
our island.
Tom Jones and Mars Attacks, you know, he's finally up there with all the ant plants and animals and the sunshine and.
Oh yeah,
it's not unusual.
I've got that song too. Watch it.
Oh hey, we're gonna go through all the classics. Had the King playing as we were setting up.
Yeah, that's on our playlist, Harry. Yeah. Okay, so who else would make... All right, if we had the dream team of the Hollywood actors...
You need a... Well, I don't need... You just need a beautiful woman with a katana.
Okay.
No, not to, you know...
Well, I've got a katana.
Yeah, but, you know...
Throw the beautiful woman my way, and I'll give her my katana, and
Hey, we're on air here. We're going to have, like...
You can have a studly guy with big abs. Were you saying the medicine?
I don't want a studly guy with big abs. Come on.
Hey, come on. We need to appeal to audiences with our zombie movie.
Oh, that's true. Well, they can have Not So Mad Max, because he's a very stout...
Yeah,
very
you keep
yoked.
Calling me stout. I'm, you know, hey. I'm rather svelte.
Well,
but let's not talk about my body weight here. Come on. This is no, I'm just kidding. But I guess you'd lose a lot of weight during the zombie apocalypse. You know, it'd be good for your ass.
Well, not at first, because you'd be able just to eat everything. You'd be like, oh, that'll spoil if I don't eat it. Remember, in Zombieland, even Twinkies have a shelf life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has a shelf life, especially survivors in a zombie apocalypse. So that birdie that dropped the line earlier, also, I guess it was from the point when I was asking about do they sink, do they swim, float, you know. What if zombies could fly?
I like that idea.
Then we'd all
like
really
the expression
be in a world
when pigs fly, but in this case, zombies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
All right, if that starts happening.
It's like Gollum says in
then
Lord
I'm
of the
sorry.
Rings.
I'm sorry. If you're going to have a movie where zombies can fly, then we're not going to go like Tremors 3, okay? No.
Okay.
If I'm going to be in a movie with where zombies fly, I'm going to be able to fly too. I'll have an aerial dogfight while cat fighting a zombie and trying not to get scratched.
Well, zombie.
I'm not even going to ask how they locomote themselves around because I can think of all sorts of terrible things.
Mm-hmm. It's brain power.
Oh, no.
That's why they need dark brains.
You made them angry.
Because they know that we're only using so much of our brains.
My question is, who's using the rest of our brains?
Oh, why? If we only use 20%, the zombies could eat like 80%. We'd be okay. Oh, except for the virus thing. You get bit. Oh.
What about alien zombies? Or, oh, video game.
What was that game that you played? That was
Dead Space.
That's a
mutant
spooky
alien
game.
Zombies.
Mutant alien. It's not enough to be mutants.
It's not enough to be alien.
It's not enough to even just be zombies.
You have to fly.
Well, they
you kind of do actually.
There are some that will fly at you that like they'll reanimate, you know, corpses and turn them into more of these necrophages is what they call them, meaning like, you know, dead things mm-hmm. that feast on living. And, you know, there's ones that fly, there's one that you cut it all to pieces and blow off the head, and it starts to grow all of the limbs and head back. You have, like, 5 seconds to start running.
Okay, okay.
And that's one of those super evolved,
What other video games? Oh, what was that one at the end of, was that Medal of Honor?
Oh no, Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
The Call of Duty series.
It's a military game.
For
the whole game, it's a military game until you beat it, and then it unlocks a special level.
Nazi zombies.
Yeah, which is, you know, just zombies dressed up, I mean.
And Nacht der Untoten actually means night of undead. But, you know, it's the night of the undead or the living dead is really, because the undead is vampires, but
but then they're not quite living. And which brings up the idea, what is undeath? If it's not dead and it's not alive. Does that mean you have to have died first, but you're still animated? Does it mean you're not quite dead? Trapped?
I just know that in the American Book of the Dead, which is a translation of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, there's a really good chapter to read on how to figure out if you're a ghost or not.
Mm.
Yeah, you read it like if you find yourself walking from room to room aimlessly. Mm-hmm. There's all these, like, there's a whole list of things. So if you're reading it and you're a ghost, you can figure it out. So if there are any ghosts listening, you should go read. I mean, actually, I guess you wouldn't know. Well, everyone should go read this book.
Well, it's
right
funny
now.
That we're
American Book of the Dead.
It's funny that we're listening to
you
Harry Belafonte
you
there.
You could be undead.
Because that song was actually the most memorable song that was on Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. Uh-huh. Yes. Love
which
that movie.
It was a serious tongue-in-cheek movie. I actually saw it again fairly recently.
Was Beetlejuice a zombie? I mean,
enjoyed it.
I
saw it on Netflix.
Yeah, some of those people in that medical clinic waiting room.
Yeah, they kind of looked zombie. Gray face and the one dude with the knife or whatever in it.
Oh, and there's the head shrinker and the guy with the shrunken head. The great white hunter with the shrunken head.
Yeah.
The call girl that sawed in half, or what was it, magician's apprentice or whatever?
Yeah. He actually sawed her in half.
Yeah. There's the guy that's flattened. He's got tire tracks all over him, and they take him across the room, like kind of like a sheet of paper on a wire.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fun to be had with some pretty horrible ideas.
a little dark sense of humor.
So my first real exposure to zombies, I have to say.
Wait, your first real exposure to zombies?
Well, you haven't been bitten,
have you?
It wasn't death by exposure, at least not yet.
Not the undeath.
Well, with you, I went to go see the movie Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
I had to say I was hooked. I was never into the zombie thing. I had flirted with the vampire and the werewolf thing coming into pop culture. Zombie thing, I just was a turn off the idea until I saw Shaun of the Dead. And to have anybody have that much fun with a zombie movie, and, you know, not just be stupid, but, you know, really it was a witty movie. And about people that were being stupid with zombies, but they're so dumb they actually get away with it, you know. That was it. After that, I had to check out zombie culture. Other good movies.
I really like this one that I'm actually privileged to be able to help a friend work on. It's current work in progress. Hopefully in the next year and a half or two, filming and all that will be done. And the prequel is going to be posted up on like YouTube so everyone can see it, get like, you know, nice. A little zombie cult following, and then we'll come out with the full movie that explains the rest of it, the movie. But
so zombie movies are still pulling strong.
Oh yeah,
this is an indie movie.
Well, the first one's gonna be indie style, just mainly for like it's the nostalgic feel that my friend's after.
Okay.
Zombie nostalgia. That's really, we're getting into a real postmodern place here. I'd have to say 28 Days Later.
Ooh, that was a.
And even 28 Weeks Later wasn't as good of a movie, but at the very beginning, when he's running across the field after having escaped from the house towards the boat, and there's just line of zombies coming over the horizon, and he's got other ones running after him, it's just a great movie image to leave you with before you go to sleep tonight.
Nice. So we were talking about survival kits. Real quick, what would be the one thing that you'd make sure that you'd have if the zombie, if you knew zombies were coming?
Weapons.
I would go even further into weapons as to say incendiary explosives. You don't want something fragment because you don't want to get yourself. You just want to light those zombies on fire because you burn them into ash and you know you got the hit.
Unless they're too close, then you've got flaming zombie chasing you.
Well, that's why you use it before.
But it would be
close.
Pretty fun.
And you know me, I'm a pyro.
And weapons. What would you be your weapon of choice against a zombie?
Really long, solid baseball bat.
All right.
Kind of like poke.
And then you need some things with edges.
I think weapons would be important. I don't think that I would ever, in the case of a zombie apocalypse, have any trouble thinking of things to use as a weapon. You know, I think I could be pretty ingenious. The one thing that I'd want in the zombie apocalypse would be a good pair of shoes.
You know, good footwear would be very important.
Because
you can run in, but will also provide protection.
Chased by those things barefoot for weeks.
Oh, yeah. Especially if they end up chasing you out into the wilderness.
There you go. Well, we've had fun talking about zombies here. This is the zombie apocalypse come.
Diapers.
I hope you enjoyed our little twist. Diapers. No, that could be important, too.
Right, because, and then you need a diaper buddy. Oh, sorry. Seriously, because if you, what about, oh, never mind. I'm going off track. But, you have to go urinate. You need a buddy, right?
Oh, right. Watch each other's backs. Yeah. But if you had a diaper, you could just keep
moving. Yeah, if you had a diaper, you could just keep going. Right, so I think diapers.
Right. You wouldn't have much time to stop and do laundry.
That's true.
okay. So we got a supply of diapers, creamed corn, water, weapons, preferably a baseball bat or flamethrower or pistol or something like that. And,
bow and arrow, even, if you're good with it.
I haven't heard any calls come in from the guy setting up our retreat in Tahoe. So
it
may be that the zombies have already hit Central Valley.
Uh-oh.
With that, I think the zombies have left. I'm not hearing them banging at the door anymore. We might have a chance to get out of the studio here, so I'm going to start wrapping things up and head back out into the stormy airwaves.
Could I give a shout-out real quick?
Let's give some shout-outs here on Thursday Night Mission.
The friend of mine who the movie will be coming from, Dylan Johnson, Dylan Starr, and his he's one of the works of Dean Adele, who's I should say Dr. Adele, who's a very kind-hearted soul who has brought up a very fine young gentleman who also has a very good brain on his shoulders that seems like the zombies might want.
I don't really have anyone to shout out to. I just like to just remember to be safe. And I don't really think the zombies are going to show up tonight.
I don't think they are. But if they do, we'll be ready. Thank you for listening to Thursday Night Mission every 9 to 10 p.m. every Thursday here on world-famous Penguin Radio. I am your beacon, your host from the stormy airwaves to the solid shores of San Rafael. Any disasters happen, come my way. I'll keep you alive. Tsunami, earthquake, or even the zombie apocalypse. But for now, we've got a summer storm out there. It's not raining, but the airwaves are tremulous. So make sure to sign in and log in and get the stream for Thursday Night Mission next week, 9 to 10 p.m. We'll have a little more serious show next time. Thank you for coming in, gentlemen.
I look forward to hearing Chaplain Gaffney.
I think it'll be a beautiful show next week.
Wonderful man with great work.
Good night, and thank you for listening to Thursday Night Mission. Detain.